The Lord Jesus, before he left this earth for heaven, commissioned his disciples with these words. He said, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel." So it's not just something we do in the gospel hall. It's a commission given us by the Lord. Now, if we're going to preach the gospel, we have to know what the gospel is. And if we're going to preach the gospel, we're preaching it not just for the sake of preaching it. Because the Lord Jesus said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." So we're preaching a message of salvation. We're preaching something that God says we need. We need it more than we need anything else. We need God's salvation. Now, before I get going too far, I'm going to read some verses to you. And since the subject tonight is on the necessity of conversion, we're using the word conversion for good reason. It's a word that's used in the scripture, and we're going to look at that. I'll explain it as we go. But my first reading is going to be in Matthew chapter 13, and I'm going to read to you from verse 15. This is the Lord Jesus speaking, and he said, "For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed." You got the picture? Their heart is far from God. Their ears, they're not listening. Their eyes, they're closed. Now, how do you reach people like that? Their hearts, far from God. Their ears, they're not listening. And their eyes are closed. They have closed. Their eyes, they have closed. Lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and should understand with their hearts and should be converted. Did you catch that? So if they're not listening, they're not going to be converted. If they don't see, they're not going to be converted. And if their heart doesn't turn to God, they're not going to be converted. Because he says this, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their hearts, then they'll be converted and I will heal them. Now, lest you think that God doesn't want to save people or convert people, he does. The problem is not with God. So the Lord Jesus, rather than do what I'm going to try to do to you tonight and just preach the word to you, he didn't do that. Because their eyes were closed. And their ears were closed. And their hearts were dull. So they weren't ready to listen to the word of God. They closed their eyes to God's word. They closed their ears to God's word. So you know what the Lord Jesus did? He said, "I'll speak to them in stories. I'll tell them stories. And while I'm telling them the story will always have a meaning." So I'm going to tell them the story of a sower that went out to sow the seed. And the people listened to the story because all around them were just like PEI. There were farms everywhere. And he was talking to farmers and farmers' kids. And you know what it's like here in the spring of the year. They sow the potato seed. The seed potatoes, actually. That's what they do. They put those seed potatoes in the ground. And they put them there for good reason. They want a crop. But if you have stony ground, you're not going to get potatoes. Because potatoes don't grow on stones. They only grow in soil. So he told them the whole story. Many of you know that story. There was stony ground, there was thorny ground, and then there was the pathway. And he said, wherever the seed fell on stones, it didn't grow. Wherever it fell on pathways, didn't grow. The birds came and snatched it away. And when it fell among thorns, the thorns grew up and choked it. But then he said this, some seed fell on good ground. Now, it was a story. He told them the story because they didn't want to hear the word of God. Remember? Eyes were closed, ears were dull, hearts were hardened against God. So he said, I'll tell them stories. Now, while he was telling the story, if there was anybody that would open their eyes spiritually, they'd say, I wonder what he's really talking about. Because do you really think Jesus came all the way from heaven to sow potatoes? Maybe he's talking about something else. And as they listen to the story, if they open their ears, they're thinking, maybe he's not talking about seed potatoes. Maybe he's talking about sowing the gospel. If they open their ears, they would hear that. And if they open their heart, they'd start to understand. That's what he said. If they open their heart, they'll understand that I don't give two figs about potatoes. I care about them. I care about their souls. And I'm really sowing the word of God into their hearts. And if with a good heart they receive it, they'll figure this out. They'll understand. And they'll be like the good ground. So that's why he talked to them in parables. Because they didn't want to listen. But he always made a way. When he told the story, he left it. So if they really wanted to know, and they really opened their ears, and they opened their eyes, and they opened their hearts, here's what he said would happen. They would be converted. Do you know what converted means? The word to convert, that word, the first thing you need to know is the meaning of that word. It simply means they would change. There would be a turn. It would completely change them. Literally, the word means to turn. It's used in Ephesians when Paul says, ye turned to God from idols. Same word. They were converted. They turned. They literally changed their lives from going after idols, they turned to God. They were converted. That's what converted mean. It means a total change. So when we're talking about the gospel and being saved, we're not talking about having the right words. Anybody can say, I'm saved. Those are the right words. That's what you need to be. And anybody can use those words and say, yep, I believe, I'm saved. Anybody can say that. But we're not talking about words. When we use the word conversion, we're talking about a change. Because when a person is saved, their life is changed. Totally changed. Now, there's many of you here today that maybe you say you're saved, and that's good. But here's what I want you to do. All of us, preacher included, here's what I want you to do. Ask yourself, is my life changed? Because true conversion is a change. It's closely linked to the word repentance. In fact, there's one verse in the Bible in Acts. I wrote it down here somewhere in my notes. Acts chapter 3. And the two words are used in the same verse. Acts chapter 3 and verse number 19. Here's what it says. Repent ye therefore and be converted that your sins may be blotted out. I'll read it again. Repent, that's one word I want to talk to you about. Repent ye therefore and be converted that your sins may be blotted out. So repentance also means a change. But repentance means a change of mind. A change of heart. Okay, that's on the inside. Repentance is when a person changes their mind. They say, I was wrong. God is right. I was wrong. They admit in their own mind and in their own heart and their own soul, I am wrong. God is right. There's a change. Because we're all born thinking this, I'm right. I'm all right. My way is as good as anybody else's way. But when a person repents, they find out, I'm wrong. God is right. That's a change of mind. So he says, repent and be converted. So what happens inside, the change inside comes out. And there's a change on the outside. Now that's really, really important. So I'm going to repeat it again. If a person is saved, there's been a change of mind, but the change of mind affects a change of life. Repent, nobody sees that. That's inside. That's a change of mind. That's what repentance means, a change of mind. And be converted, that's a change on the outside. That's a change of life. And every single person that's saved, they have repented. They've changed their mind. And they've trusted Christ. And it changed their lives on the outside. I'm not the man I used to be. I thank God every day that I'm not the man I used to be. Maybe I'm not what I should be, but I'm not what I used to be. Because I was a wicked sinner on the way to hell. And God changed me. He converted me. He turned me. He changed me. So I want you to ask yourself, do I have words? Or am I changed? Am I a changed person? Is really, really important. Not just for life, but for eternity. It's only changed people that will enter heaven. There has to be a change before we can go to heaven. Because the way we were born, we're not fit for heaven. That's the problem. The way we were born, we're far from God. The way we were born, we're not right with God. And it's not just our words. It's our whole life. Not right with God. So God wants a change. And he doesn't say, okay, do the best you can, change yourself. Everybody work really hard at changing themselves. That would be impossible. You can't do it. You can't do it. You can't change yourself. But then God, in his grace, he did something that would change us if we believed it. If we received it, it will change us. And that's called conversion. So, right at the beginning, this is absolutely necessary. We must be converted. Okay? It's a necessity. Without it, we just got words. With it, we can turn the world upside down. We're changed people. Okay? I want to look not only at the meaning of the word, the change, but I got another big word here, the mandate of it. That means the must. It must be. God didn't say it would be a good idea if you were converted. He said you must be. Now, there's different words used for salvation. Conversion, I just spoke about. But there's also saved. That means rescued. Rescued from your sins. Delivered from your sins. And there's also born again. You know that, John chapter 3. Ye must be born again. And both those words are different aspects of conversion. Conversion is a change because someone is saved, because they've been born again. Born again means you got new life. That's why there's a change. When a person gets new life, the Bible says the old things are passed away and all things have become new. Well, if all things are passed away and all things have become new, that's a change. So here's what God says. The Lord Jesus said it. You know these verses. John 3 and 3. You must be born again. John 3 and 7. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. It's a must. You have to have it. You must be born again. And Peter preached it in Acts, the beginning of Acts, chapter 4, verse 12. He said, neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men, whereby, listen now, we must be saved. That's what I mean by a mandate. A mandate is something that God says is an absolute must. We must be saved. We must be converted. We must be born again. Not a good thing. It's the only thing. And if we're not, we got nothing. We're just a bunch of people that get together. But if we're born again, we're a changed lot of people. We're people with new life. We're people that have been delivered from our sins. But then I'm going to look at, just for a minute, the manner. So I took the meaning, the must, and now the manner of conversion. How is a person converted? Do you try really, really hard? Well, there's a verse in John chapter 1 that says this. Not of the will of the flesh, not of the will of man, but which are born of God. Born of God. That's how a person is saved. Again in John chapter 3, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, but that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not, I said unto thee, ye must be born again. You must be born of the Spirit. So the Spirit of God is the one that, this is not good English, but you'll understand me. The Spirit of God is the one that borns us into the family of God. You don't born yourself. You don't generate new life yourself. He's the one that gives life. The Spirit of God does that. And he knows what he's doing. And he never makes a mistake. He's the very author of life. And listen, young people, if he gives you life, you'll have life. If he gives you life, you will have eternal life, because that's the only kind of life he gives. He never makes a mistake. He never gives people the wrong kind of life. He always gives eternal life. He is the Spirit of God. He's a real person. There are three persons in the Godhead. There is a Father, There's the Son and there's the Spirit. And the Spirit of God imparts life. Here's what Peter says about it in Peter's epistle. Being born again by the Spirit of God. He gives life. That's why every single person that's born again, that's converted, really has life. It's not that I got one kind of life because I grew up in Boston and you got another kind of life because you grew up here in Canada and PEI. No. It's the same Spirit that gives the exact same kind of life to every person that turns to Him, turns from their sin. He gives real life. That's why I like preaching the gospel. Because we're not preaching about a good thing to have. We're not preaching about a good way to live. We're preaching about real life. I got a better job than a doctor does. You know that? Far better job than a doctor. Some doctors born babies. But I know doctors that born dead babies. I've had to take the funerals of babies born dead. But what I'm preaching, every single person that God borns by His Spirit has life. And they'll never die. It's eternal life. Comes from God. It's a real possession. It's something real that you have. It's not a figment of your mind. It's not just a belief of your heart, although you believe it. It's real. It's life. And you got to have it. And if you have it, you'll grow. And if you don't have it, you can dump all the water you want on a dead plant. It'll never grow. But if you have it, you will grow. You'll grow in grace. You'll grow in knowledge of the Lord Jesus. You'll grow in your spiritual life. You'll grow to be more like the Lord Jesus. Because He gives you the same kind of life that the Lord Jesus has. You know what kind of life the Lord Jesus has? Eternal. That's the quality of life the Lord Jesus has. Eternal life. He will never die again. He was raised from the dead. After He died for our sins on the cross, He was raised never to die again. Never. Would you like to have that kind of life? That's what everybody has that's converted. And it's because it comes from God Himself. The Spirit of God gives us that life. He works. While we preach the gospel, do you know what the Spirit of God does? The Bible tells us three things He does. You know what the Spirit of God does? First of all, He convicts of sin. Why does He do that? Because you don't believe on the Lord Jesus. That's what He says. He'll convict of sin because you do not believe on Me. That's what Jesus said. Do you know the only sin that takes a person to hell? Rejecting the Lord Jesus. Every other sin will be forgiven. God can forgive every sin. But the one sin He'll never forgive is if you reject Christ, you'll end up in hell. So He convicts you of that sin so that you will believe on Him. He convicts of righteousness because the Lord Jesus has gone to the Father. There's only one right way to the Father. That's through the Lord Jesus. And that's the only way, the right way. And unless you come to the Lord Jesus, there's no other way. And he impresses that on your heart so that you know this. By the Spirit of God, I must come to Christ. I must. There's no other way. And lastly, he convicts of judgment. And he says this, because the prince of the world is already judged. In other words, the devil is judged by God. And if you follow the devil, you'll be judged by God. You can rest assured of that. If you follow the devil, the same thing that happens to him will happen to you. He's judged of God. He's under the judgment of God. So the Spirit of God does that. That's his part in this great conversion. He gives us life. He convicts us of our sin. And he brings us to Christ. Preachers can't do that. Maybe some of you have been to places where they have altar calls and they call people to the front. Well, I know people that were saved going to the front. But I had a friend in school I went to school with, and she went to the front, and she didn't get saved. And she came back to school, and she started laughing, and she said, "It doesn't work. I did everything they said. I went to the front. There's nothing to it. I don't believe a word of it. There's nothing to that gospel. It didn't save me. I went to the front." That's why we never ask you to come to the front. Because too many people have been turned off because they think what they do will save them. No, no. Only the Spirit of God can save you. And if he doesn't convict you of your sin, and if he doesn't born you into the family, and if he doesn't give you life, you won't have life. Only he can give life. So do you have life? Then you got it from him. And every one of us that got life from him have the exact same thing. We have eternal life. And we got it from God himself, the Spirit. But lastly, what's the method? What is his method of giving us this? In Romans chapter 10, there's an order for how God does this. Because if God is going to give you life, you can be sure he does it right. He's not sloppy. He's not haphazard. He doesn't just pull ideas out of his head and say, "Oh, I think I'll do this. Oh, I think I'll..." That's how we operate, not God. God is a God of order. So God says this. First of all, he says, I need to send out preachers. I'm not going to read it to you. I'll just tell you. From Romans chapter 10, you can read this. I need to send out preachers, because people need to hear. And how shall they hear except there's a preacher that preaches? So I'll send out preachers so that they can hear. Because I want them to believe, but how can they believe if they've never heard? Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Now maybe that didn't make sense to you, but I want to tell you the elements of that. First of all, there is the preaching of the word. God sends men to preach the gospel. Why? So that you'll hear. That's what he tells us. So that you'll hear. Are you listening? So when you go to a gospel meeting, it's not just to go to a meeting. It's to listen. To hear. So the preacher is to preach the word of God so that you can hear the word of God. Because God wants you to believe the word of God, but how will you believe it if you don't hear it? So you got to hear it. So preachers preach it so that you can hear it. You hear it so that you can believe it. And if you believe it, he'll save you. Simple as that. Make sense? Preachers preach it so that you can hear it. You hear it so that you can believe it. And if you believe it, God will save you. That's how he works. That's his method. We didn't invent that. That's right straight from the scriptures. That's what he says. So let me tell you this story about a young man that was coming to meetings and I was preaching. So I was watching this boy. Actually, he wasn't a boy. He was a man. He was in his 30s. And he was coming to meeting every single night. And he had all the right moves. He'd frown at the right times. He'd smile at the right times. And yet I noticed he always had something on his lap. And it wasn't a Bible. It was a notebook. So I gave him some stuff to write down in his notebook. I figured if he's taking notes, I'll test this boy. I gave him some stuff to write, and he didn't write. And then when I didn't give him stuff, he was writing. I thought, aha, that rascal, he's not even listening. He's not even listening. He's working at something. And it ain't about the meeting. So don't forget, preachers see all that. And I'm preaching and I'm figuring this out at the same time. So after about three nights of him doing this, and he came for weeks to the meeting. After about three nights of him doing this, and I was watching him those three nights, and I got it all figured out. He's working at a project. And he's acting like he's listening in a meeting, and he's not listening. I'm preaching so that he could listen and hear the word of God, believe it, and be saved. But he's not listening. I'm preaching, but he's not listening. So he's not going to hear the word of God. He's not going to be saved. Because that's how God saves people. So one night, he was going out of the meeting. I said, don't come tomorrow night. What? I said, stay home. Do your homework at home. Whoa, 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 whoa. I said, what were you working on tonight? And he pushed out and went out the door. He was there the next night. And the rascal had his notebook again. And I could hardly believe my eyes. I watched him. Now, he figured because there were probably 300 people in that meeting that I wouldn't pick him out. But I picked him out. And I was watching him. He's working away in his notebook again. So when he was going out that night, I said, stay home. We could use that seat. He said, what? I said, someone will come that wants to listen. Stay home. He just kind of looked at me, brushed by, and went out again. Next night he came, he didn't have his notebook. But he sat there like this. Now, I'm talking a grown man, 35 years old. He sat there just like this. And I thought, okay, mister, you want to get tough? I'll get tough. And I preached right at him. Didn't look at anybody else, just at him. And you know what happened? He heard. For the first time, he heard every word I said. And you know what he really heard? Because I was preaching the word of God. For the first time, he listened to the word of God. He came back the next night. And I was looking for him, couldn't see him. I was sure I saw him come into that tent. He wasn't. I looked and here he was, almost right up front. I said, what in the world is happening with this man? And he sat there and he listened to every single word. And going out, he said, can I talk to you? I said, why? Can't figure out your homework? No, he said, I need to be saved. I need to be saved. I said, well, when'd you figure that out? He said, in the meeting tonight. He said, I'm afraid I'm going to end up in hell if I don't get saved. I said, yeah, and you will. I'll end the story. He got saved. Because he listened. That's God's way. Preach the word. Listen to the word. Believe the word. God says, I'll save you. So that's why we preach. That's why we ask you to come and listen. And if you listen to it, God says, you believe it, I'll save you. Seems pretty simple, doesn't it? But let me tell you, it wasn't simple for the Lord Jesus. Because what we're preaching is that Christ died for our sins. A horrible death. An unthinkable death. I can't even imagine nailing a man alive to a tree. Stop and think of it. They took a living man and they nailed him alive to the tree. That was the price to put away our sin. And he paid it in full. And when it was all paid, he said, "It's finished." And if you would believe his word, by his Spirit, he would give you life tonight and you would be saved. Let's pray.